If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Thank you. You've been listening to Rhyme or Reason from the Higgs off their really cool live mixtape or compilation, Rose Will Fall, that was released just a few weeks back. We've had John Lovero of the Higgs on before, and in the time since, the band's prominence as more than just an LA jam band has certainly grown. They've added new management and have opened for Twiddle and other well-known jam bands on the scene. Rose Will Fall is an unbelievable mix of live music from the Higgs. Our conversation with John Lovero, the band's guitar player and one of their vocalists, started when I asked what prompted this double live experience.
Well, you know, within our scene of music, there's just a very high demand for live music and live concert audio. And we decided that we just wanted to capture some really high quality concert audio and put it together for what, you know, is like a mixtape kind of thing. Something like you did back in the day when you had all your favorite songs come on the radio and you would record them to a cassette. It's kind of like a similar concept of what we're doing, the idea that we were kind of shooting for.
The sound has evolved and changed so much for you guys. And to be able to listen to these jams, I mean, and really the jams are all over the place in terms of genre and in terms of influence, I think. You know, Meet My Baby has this very heavy Almonds feel to it. Breathe and On the Run obviously are Pink Floyd influence tunes. Rose Will Fall feels like a bit of a Fish influence. How do you get all of these influences down so that you can create these great tunes?
Well, I think a lot of it just has to do where we come from as musicians. A lot of this music is kind of just in our blood, and we don't really have to force it too much. It's just what we've been into for a long time. So I kind of think that that's just what comes out of us musically. We don't really focus on those types of things. We don't say, hey, let's make this sound like Fish, or hey, let's make this sound like the Allman Brothers. But just years and years of listening to those bands and those guitar players and those drummers and bassists and keyboard players have amalgamated into the sound that we're conveying right now.
The other thing that's really of note, and I don't think it comes across, it certainly doesn't come across on the record Change, but one thing that I do note, although maybe in Freddie a little bit, is the jams. I mean, these are, for lack of a better word, type 2 jams in a significant way. You aren't afraid to jam on these things for 10, 15 minutes. I mean, is that ultimately where this band is headed?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's where we shine kind of. I think our songwriting is strong, but our jamming is what people are really interested in. And we try to focus a lot on taking our time and not trying to rush the jams and not trying to get to like that exciting peak too quickly, because you want to get to that place and you want that blissful feeling of when that jam just reaches the top of the mountain. But oftentimes you want to let that grow and evolve. And so what we really work on is trying to lay back, not overplay, and try to let that jam build itself.
Yeah, it certainly comes through. I mean, I've been listening to it all morning again, and it really does shine through. I mean, there are parts in Timekeeper and Gotta Know, with a G, by the way, Gotta Know.
Yeah.
There are times where your guitar playing really shines through, where the rhythm sections really tighten the pocket. I mean, that's stuff that you just learn by either performing a lot or practicing a lot. How often do you guys get together to jam stuff out? Well, now it's probably a difficult situation.
Yeah, it's a funny question right now, right? I mean, Right now we're all being very respectful of the regulations that the CDC has put out, and we're trying to distance ourselves. We're staying at home with our families and doing the social distancing thing. But in a normal time, we're rehearsing 2 to 3 days a week consistently, and constantly writing new music and constantly working on new covers. So usually in the non-COVID era, we're jamming all the time together.
Now, what's interesting about this record, this double live record, is, you know, a lot of people put out a double live record and it'll be, you know, from Madison Square Garden, or it'll be a double live record from wherever, some
place that's important to the band. In this case, what you've done is you've taken jams and you've reorganized jams and songs, and you've reorganized them to pay close attention to the kinds of songs and remaster a lot of this material. How was that process for you, and who did you get involved to do some of that stuff?
Well, so we had Louis Turan master it, who is a phenomenal mastering engineer. And if you look him up on Google, I mean, his credits are amazing. He's done some phenomenal stuff. And we mixed this album over with JP Hesser over at Castaway 7 Studios. Mm-hmm. And he worked on the first two Circles Around the Sun albums. He recorded the first two CRB albums. He's done a lot of like California reggae groups. He's just a phenomenal dude. And he's got a great studio. So what we did was we did all the tracking on our own. We tracked all the music at the shows, brought that music to JP over at Castaway 7 Studios. We got all the levels mixed, make sure all the volumes and all of the EQ is good, put reverbs and things like that where we needed them. And then we took that to Louis for mastering, and they all did a phenomenal job. It was just such a great team.
How did you decide the order of these songs? Because you did have the opportunity to, although they aren't necessarily all from the same show, you did have the opportunity to make it feel like a show, and it really does flow like a show. How did you decide, for lack of a better word, what the set list was for this show?
Right. I mean, I think we kind of just orchestrated it like we would a show set list, kind of looking at how it flows and where the higher energy things are and maybe some of the more slower down tempo songs are. But then at the same time, we had to look at things like length of cassettes and length of CDs to make sure that everything fit properly. So there was a couple of different elements that went into play there. But for the most part, we were trying to focus on what you were talking about. Was just a really good flow, almost making it feel like it was a live show.
Now, a lot of people may have received this as a mixtape. When it was first released, I think March 20th, what you did was you did actually create cassettes of this stuff. So I would assume that On the Run is probably the end of the first side, or Meet My Baby is the end of the first side, and Rose Will Fall parts one and two are on the second side. Is that the breakout of this thing?
Right. Yeah. So things had to get shifted a little bit. We had to break them and split them in half like that. Exactly. So and we got 100 of them. So the first 100 people who buy the double disc CD also get the cassette. So it's just really cool.
Yeah. It's really cool too, that this is available on vinyl. So people who listen to this stuff on vinyl, and I think I'd encourage you to listen to this on vinyl because it has a very rich sound to it. They too will have, you know, these songs broken up for them as side A and side B and so forth, right?
Yeah, it's nice to listen to an analog style recording these days. We're so used to everything being on our computers and Spotify. It's nice to have something tangible and, you know, like pop a cassette in and close it. And we actually even brought a boombox to our merch table for the day of the release so people could like pop it in and try it out. And it's just something that we haven't done for years, unless you're an audiophile and you're into like that analog form normally. But most people are just take the convenience of Spotify and Apple Music and those types of things these days. So it's a nice change of pace for sure.
For sure. What's next for you guys? I mean, COVID-19 aside, is the plan to record original music and put that into an album now that you have this really great compendium of what, and for lack of a better word, the new Higgs are all about? Is the plan to record some originals and put together an album that you can put your name on, that you can be proud of, original music?
Absolutely. So the next step is to do some studio work, like legit studio album where we're all sitting around the mics in the studio, tracking to a nice board and all that kind of thing. So yeah, we've dipped our toe in the live tracking. We actually have 3 live releases now that you can find on Spotify and Apple Music and all that. And now it's time to get in the studio and do like a legit studio album. So that's what's next for us for sure.
Yeah, because it's been a while, right? It's been since 2017. And certainly mm-hmm. you've honed your sound and you've honed some of the writing that you would probably put into a studio record. Are you always writing? Is the band always writing new material?
Yeah, I mean, constantly. So, I mean, personally, I write a lot. The other musicians are in the band are also writing music as well. During this COVID thing, man, I've been pumping out a song almost every day. So just using the time wisely at home and taking advantage of my resources online and learning things from other musicians and trying to apply it to my own stuff. But yeah, the answer being yes, like every rehearsal, we're either working up a new tune that's original or we're trying to incorporate a new cover. So constant progression in the new music.
Is the plan eventually, obviously this is a silly question given the circumstances, but you guys want to be out there and playing, obviously. And I know that you've made a name for yourselves in the Los Angeles jam band scene and the SoCal jam band scene. Is the plan to now with new management really explore more opportunities on the East Coast and Southern United States and stuff?
Absolutely. And unfortunately, we were going to be doing a run that wasn't getting so far east, but we were going to be doing like the Montana region and Idaho and Colorado and things like that, which we're also trying to grow fan bases in those areas as well. But the COVID thing hit like right in the middle of it, and we had to cancel just like everyone else. It was nothing, you know, special about our tour that it got canceled. But we did miss an opportunity to go visit some of those places that we are trying to expand the name outside of Southern California.
What's the reaction been like when you do go outside of the comfort zone, when you're playing in places that, you know, you don't necessarily have a following in yet? What has been the reaction to the music that you've been playing, you know, when you're out with Twiddle or Aqueous and doing things and taking advantage of those bands' fans and fan bases?
Well, it's almost like the more people we get in front of that are in tune with this scene and what's going on with this style of music, the better, and like the better reactions we get. So, you know, it can be tough when you're going to a new city and you're playing for the three locals at the bar and the bartender, and that's it. And that still happens when you're an up and coming band. And so even sometimes on those nights, those three people will be awesome heads that understand the music, they get the jamming and all that, and it can be a wonderful night. Or, you know, we can get put in front of 600 people at the Troubadour with Twiddle, and a situation like that is going to be more ideal for us because it just exposes us to more people who are like-minded, in the know, understanding of improvisational music. And the reaction has been nothing but awesome. We get a lot of love, and I'm super appreciative of that and have a lot of gratitude towards that.
You guys made a very generous donation to the Make-A-Wish Foundation back a couple months ago in the late, great Kobe Bryant's name. Talk a bit about, the inspiration to do that. It's really a sweet thing that you did, and I don't think a lot of people know about it, which is great that you did it sort of below the radar. But now's your chance to talk a bit about it. What made you decide to, A, make the donation to Make-A-Wish Foundation, and B, to do it in Kobe's name?
We've been talking a lot about those types of things, about how we could start giving back. We want to be able to not only help ourselves and our families through this music, but we want to be able to help others. And it was just one of those situations where we were thinking about it. We're like, hey, we want to give some money to a charitable cause tonight for this show. We're going to probably do pretty decent in merch because we're going to be in our hometown. We're going to be opening for Twiddle at a cool venue. So let's take advantage of this opportunity and let's just donate everything to some sort of foundation that we appreciate, that we agree in their cause. And it was just in that whole Kobe passing away thing, and that was still heavy on everyone's minds. And we figured, you know, what a better way than to commemorate Kobe and also give to the charity that he was so inspired by and he had so much love and passion for. So it was just kind of a win-win because Kobe had a really great relationship with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Los Angeles loves Kobe Bryant. Everyone loves Kobe Bryant, but Los Angeles especially. And we raised $1,400 that night and donated every penny to Make-A-Wish Foundation. And let me tell you, man, it felt really good to be a part of something like that.
Are you guys also hoops fans? I mean, everybody knows Kobe, whether they're basketball fans or not, but are you guys specifically? Is the band specifically Kobe and Hoops fans, Lakers fans?
Garrett, our drummer, is a big basketball guy. I think David and Jesse are also a little into basketball. I'm not the biggest sports fan, but I can absolutely appreciate what that man did for sure.
Right. So I guess it's sort of wait and see with you guys right now while we await the fallout, for lack of a better word, for COVID-19. What are you guys doing to keep yourselves busy?
Playing a lot of music. I'm just trying to keep my chops up on guitar and my singing up. So what I'm doing right now is I'm doing a lot of like transcribing of music, where I'm looking at what other people are doing and trying to copy that stuff, maybe slow it down, and try to find note for note what they're playing and then try to play it back. Also spending a lot of time writing original music, putting in the work there. So that's, you know, a lot of time around the computer right now, honestly, because that's where like all the recording gear is, and that's where all of the information is. So, and I know the guys are doing the same thing too, and we're getting to a point right now where we're going to start sending recorded music that we're working on personally to each other to start rehearsing new songs and just to keep our chops up on the old stuff as well. So right now it's just about practice, rehearsal, keeping the chops up, and staying in touch with everyone, making sure that we're in contact with all of our important people, like our booking and our management and people who run our merch and things like that, because this is like the time to really like come together with everyone.
Please pass along our happy birthday wishes to Garrett. Okay. It was his birthday last week, and I guess amongst all of this we were just forgetful and we didn't wish him a happy birthday. But are you guys in constant contact with one another? I mean, is it sort of, are you sort of, I mean, you can pick up a phone and text, but are you doing anything else to keep in contact with one another?
Yeah, we have like group calls. We'll do conference calls. We actually are starting to incorporate this Zoom, which everyone seems to be using.
Yeah.
And so we do stay in touch more than just text messaging, for sure.
Well, I want to congratulate you on a great compilation, Rose Will Fall, a great mixtape. It certainly has opened my eyes to what you guys are doing more and more. And I think not just your fans, but anybody who hasn't heard it yet should listen to it, because it's, I mean, the chops are real there, man. And it sounds like you guys are well on your way. So congratulations on the release of that. And we look forward to more good things from you in 2020, no matter when that is.
Right on. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. I'm a big fan of the show. I always enjoy all your episodes, man.
Cool. Thanks for listening, and be well, all right? Peace.
You too. Take care, Ira.
Exciting stuff ahead for the Higgs, and you know we'll be following their story and bringing you updates as we get them. For more, visit thehiggsmusic.com. Before we leave you, let's listen to another track off of Rose Will Fall. This time, it's Meet My Baby. I think you'll dig it.
Well, I'm headed down south on that coastline trail. Back from where I was born, back from where I came. Seen a lot of women down there, they don't compare to my little thing. Gonna meet my baby tonight before we drive into. She'll be waiting for my arrival, that'll guarantee. And if I know my lady best, she cooks something delicious for me. Probably listening up to some traditional bluegrass tune. Oh, Lord, no, probably picking on a mandolin. It's all over you. Guitar, I pick my banjo too. Likes it even better when I play in her room. Baby loves it when I get drunk like a fool.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.